Hare Krishna. Welcome back to the Mahabharata character series. We are discussing about Arjuna and we are in the middle of Arjuna's pilgrimages during his 1 year exile when he trespassed into Yudhishthira's chamber during Yudhishthira's private time with Draupadi. So Arjuna continued his journeys. And when Ulupi had left him, she gave him a blessing that you will be undefeated in among the aquatics. So she had taken him by the aquatic channel to a different realm because Arjuna had been bathing and she had great power over there. Her power was so great that she had overpowered Arjuna also, and that's how she had been able to whisk him away from near the Ganga to a celestial realm where they had married. So now Arjuna, as he was going on pilgrimage, he came to a particular place which looked at the same time very sacred and at the same time very desolate. So he asked the pilgrims, the hermits and other people over there, are there any sacred places over here? So he said yes. He said there are five rivers which are extremely sacred, and bathing in them gives great pious credits. But unfortunately, bathing in them is impossible because there are terribly strong alligators over there. And whoever enters into those lakes is immediately sucked in by the alligators, and the person disappears. So Arjuna, remembering Ulupi, his blessing, and thinking that this was an opportunity to serve the ascetics, he immediately went to those lakes and he entered into the first lake. And as soon as he entered, suddenly, immediately, he felt his leg being caught by a crocodile, by that alligator. And as the alligator started pulling, Arjuna remembered Ulupi's blessing, and then he just pulled and he felt himself filled with incredible strength. And as he pulled, that alligator got pulled out. Now alligator has tremendous strength, and it has, especially in the water, which is its home territory, actually can even drag an elephant inside him. And so terrific are its jaws, and its body is also not small, and tremendous pull it can have. But Arjuna, by the blessing of Ulupi, had such power. He already, as a Kshatriya, had great power, but the blessing that he would be undefeatable among the aquatics was even more of a help. And he just pulled, and so the alligator got the shock of its life. It had pulled so many creatures into the water, but here it found that it itself got pulled out, and Arjuna swung his leg and then hurled it, and the alligator tossed heavily onto the rocks at the coast of the lake. And he expected the alligator's body to be damaged, if not destroyed by the impact, and it would be scattering of blood and flesh and bones, and it would be a gory scene. But surprisingly, at that point, as soon as the alligator's body hit that blow, which was likely to be mortal, suddenly a beautiful damsel appeared over here. She was clearly a heavenly Apsara, and she offered her respects to Arjuna, and she said, thank you very much. So Arjuna was surprised, and he asked, who are you? And what had you done by which you were put in such a terrible body? So now we know that among the 8.4 million species, the aquatics are considered to be the lowest. And it's often a curse to be in a body like that. So then suddenly Arjuna asked this question. So Arjuna lived in a situation where he was not surprised at what happened. That Arjuna, it's very significant. Arjuna's question is not that, how did this alligator get transformed into Apsara? That was not his question. His question was, how did the Apsara get transformed into alligator originally? Why? Because he understood that, yes, if that is happening, it must have a cause. So it must be that there must have been some curse, and that curse must have now ended. So he naturally wanted to know what had happened. So rather than just getting caught up with surprising events, Arjuna was a deep thinker, and he was looking at the surprising causes behind those seemingly surprising events. So then Arjuna asked, and she told him the story that she, along with four of her friends, they were apsaras. Her name was Varga, and all of them were very dear to Kuvera. And at one time when they were going through a woodland to be with Kuvera, at that time they saw in that forest a Brahmin performing austerities, sitting in meditation, absorbed. So now he was handsome and his body radiated with a ascetic glow. And seeing him, these apsaras felt attracted, and they also thought that we can show the power of our beauty. And they started dancing and singing in order to distract him from his meditation. And as they did this more and more, eventually the Brahmin opened his eyes. And when he saw them, he clearly understood what they were up to. And he felt no lust because he had that much control. But he felt anger at their frivolousness and at their excessive sensuousness. And he cursed them, "As you tried to pull me out of meditation, similarly, you will be cursed to pull people out of their religious meditations." So normally when people enter into a river at that time, especially sacred rivers, people would enter into the rivers and they would bathe in the rivers. You know, so you would enter into meditation and do Gayatri. So you'll pull people out of the meditations and you'll drag them into rivers. So that's how we had become alligators. So as soon as we heard the curse, we were horrified and we fell at his feet. And now Varga is telling all the story. We fell at his feet and begged for forgiveness. And seeing us truly contrite, truly repentant, he said that, "Yes, you will be in this condition till a very virtuous person will come and who will have the ascetic, the power by which he will be able to pull you out. And this great person, he will have great antecedents in the past. And when he does this, then you will be liberated." So today that prophecy has come true, Varga told him. And she gratefully smiled at him. And she said that, she requested him, "Please liberate my four other friends also. And then we can go back to Swarga." So Arjuna obliged her. And in this way, he served the sages also. Because then the holy places were freed, for that they could bathe there and get pious credits for doing so. Arjuna continued on the journey, and actually this lake had been named Agastya. Agastya Rishi had long bathed in this lake, and it was very sacred. But unfortunately, for a long time, its sanctity had not been accessible for people. But now Arjuna made it accessible. So here we see that a Kshatriya always acts as a protector and tries to protect citizens from danger, whatever kind of danger might be. Then Arjuna went all the way around, and then eventually he came to Prabhasa. Now when he came to Prabhasa, he wanted to see Krishna, but along with that he wanted to see Subhadra also. How did Arjuna know about Subhadra? Krishna had a cousin, Gada, and Gada had also been a student at Drona's Gurukul along with Arjuna. And naturally they would discuss about their family members. And Gada talked about various family members. At that time, he talked about Subhadra also. And he told that she was so charming, so gentle, so cultured, so captivating. And just by hearing about her, Subhadra, Arjuna had become attracted to her. And he wanted to see her, and he wanted to check whether he had a chance of gaining her hand in marriage. And then he came and met Krishna discreetly. He did not go directly into the palace of he did not announce his entry, because as it is, he was on a pilgrimage. He met Krishna discreetly, and Krishna, they talked with each other. And then Krishna heard of Arjuna's pilgrimage. Krishna was very pleased. He said, "Yes, you have increased your pious credits. That is the best way to use times like this." And then then Arjuna asked Krishna about Subhadra, and Krishna said that she is of a marriageable age now, and Balram, who is the city father, he is planning to arrange her marriage to Duryodhana. So now this was like a thunder bolt on the heart of Arjuna. And then seeing this, Krishna already knew that Arjuna had had attraction to Subhadra. He was sweet on her, and so he said that, "You know, if you approach directly, I cannot go directly against Balram's wishes. So therefore, we should make some other plan." And then they discussed and they came up with an extraordinary plan. So they said that, you know, you even if you come to the city directly, you'll never be able to see Subhadra because she stays in Balram's palace. You know, and she hardly ever makes any public appearances. She lives a very protected life. And the only way you can get to see her will be if you dress yourself as a mendicant. Balramji has a very generous disposition towards mendicants and invites them and he feeds them and entertains them at his house. And then naturally, he asks at such times Subhadra to serve them. Because then Subhadra, by serving mendicants, will also gain pious credits and that will help her to gain a good husband afterwards. So now Arjuna looked at Krishna carefully, contemplated, and he agreed. Now we say that why is he using a mendicant's garb for doing something like this? But the point is that when he took this up, it was primarily to ensure that he would have Subhadra's consent also. Now Krishna and Arjuna, their plan was that if at all Subhadra had to be taken, then Krishna told him that, you know, eventually he plans to marry him to Duryodhana directly, and even if somehow I can stave it off, and then instead of Swayamvar is arranged, but still we don't know how things will go out in Swayamvar, it is best that you kidnap her. Now, kidnap may seem to be a very harsh word, but the idea is that there are different kinds of marriages. In this particular kind of marriage, if the bride is consenting, then the bridegroom actually exhibits his heroism. The warrior who is taking away the bride at that time, by fighting against the other warriors, exhibits his heroism and in that way proves his qualification for taking the bride away. So that is also one way in which things are sanctioned in the Vedas. There are different kinds of marriages. This is one of the kinds of marriages which is sanctioned. So, but before doing this, Arjuna was considered. Arjuna did not want to take Subhadra away in a marriage if she was not inclined to marry. He did not want her to be trapped in a loveless marriage. So he decided to take this garb so that Subhadra would get to see him and he will also get to see her. And the plan worked to perfection. And when Balramji saw this extraordinarily ascetic, it was well-built and powerful and attractive, so he invited him. And he invited him not only to just come for once for taking food, but he invited him to come and stay in my palace itself. So Arjuna would stay in an area of the palace which was appropriate for a mendicant. It means like it was not filled with all royal luxuries, but it was more a natural setting where he could meditate. There was a garden and there were a lake and other things like that in the palace itself. And Subhadra served him regularly. Now when first time Subhadra came to serve him, she was surprised. Oh, who is this handsome looking mendicant? And she saw that this mendicant was also looking at her with unusually intense eyes. And she was surprised. Is he also interested in a bride? He's also interested in getting married. And as she was thinking, she felt herself attracted and she thought that actually even he would be a better bride than, he would be a better bridegroom than Duryodhana. And as she was thinking like this, she kept serving him attentively. And this went on for day after day after day. And gradually, as they kept meeting each other, their attraction increased. And Krishna was seeing this, and Krishna was happy to see his dear friend and his dear sister coming closer to each other. And then finally, when the Chaturmas period, during which Arjuna had been staying with Balram, and at one place, this is the time renunciates, they don't travel but they stay at one place. So as that came towards the end, Arjuna's 1 year pilgrimage is also coming towards an end. So Krishna told Arjuna that now is the time for you to act. And he gave him his own chariot and he gave him a powerful chariot. He brought his own steeds also, two of his steeds, Shaibya and Sugriva. And Arjuna, when he appeared at that time, he put aside his mendicant robes, and he donned armor. He dressed like a powerful Kshatriya, and he decided to go. Krishna told Arjuna that, you know, there's going to be a festival in the Raivataka mountains, and that festival, the whole family will be there, Subhadra will all be there, and that is the best time for you to act. In the meanwhile, then, before acting this way, Krishna decided to check with Subhadra. And he, now they were brother sister, so Krishna actually asked Subhadra how she felt about marrying Duryodhana. And she scowled disdainfully, and her inclination couldn't have been more clear. And then Krishna started speaking about Arjuna. You know, Krishna is here acting like a matchmaker, and he's acting like a perfect matchmaker over, you know. He is making arrangements for both of them and also facilitating the growth of their attraction. So when he does this, then he tells, you know, actually he describes Arjuna's heroism, Arjuna's qualities. And then as he's thinking that, our heart is attracted to Arjuna also. And he starts thinking, if only Arjuna could be my husband. And Krishna smiles. He says, Arjuna also desires to be your husband. In fact, Arjuna is here in order to gain your hand. Now, Subhadra was surprised. He started looking at Krishna intently, thinking, if Arjuna had been here, then wouldn't she have known? Wouldn't everybody have known if the great heroic war in Arjuna had come? She looked at Krishna and immediately she understood, oh, that mendicant, he's Arjuna. And her heart jumped in joy. And he said, oh, she always suspected that person, that mendicant. You know, he walked with the gait of a lion. He had shoulders like an elephant. His voice like the thundering of clouds. No, he could not be a mendicant. He must have been a glorious Kshatriya, and that she was Arjuna. How had she not thought of him before? Like, thought of that? How did she not recognize, seen the connection, recognized him? From this, she had also heard the glories of Arjuna from various sources. And then Krishna told her, don't get excited and don't show any visible signs of being flustered or anything like that. Don't let anyone suspect. Arjuna will act at the right time. And then, when the festival was going on, and Arjuna was in his chariot, looking from near the mountains, and then he saw that Subhadra was with her friends near a Vishnu temple. And Arjuna immediately charged down in his chariot. As Subhadra was talking with her friends, she suddenly heard the clattering of hooves of horses. She turned around and she saw, the mendicant whom she had been serving. But he was no mendicant. The same face was there, but everything else was different. Here, Arjuna was carrying a huge bow, and there was a magnificent sword at his hilt, tied to his waist, and he was dressed in royal dresses. He looked magnificent, and he was riding forth at high speed, charging right towards her in the chariot. Subhadra's heart leapt with joy. At the same time, it stopped in anxiety, wondering what would happen. But before anybody could react, within the twinkling of an eye, Arjuna had swooped down on her, caught her hand, pulled her into the chariot, turned around and fled. And before the Yadus could understand what happened, Arjuna and Subhadra had disappeared. And as the Yadus realized what had happened, they all became infuriated. He says, who dare take our daughter from amongst us like this? Get my weapons. And then one of them said, oh, that looked like Arjuna. Arjuna. They were enraged and realizing that if this was really Arjuna, then they had a battle on their hands. So they immediately charged back into the city, and a full council of war was announced, and all the Yadu generals assembled in the assembly. And then they started speaking. Balram said that, you know, Krishna, Arjuna is supposed to be your friend, but how can he have acted in such an inimical way? No, by abducting Subhadra like this, he has stamped on our head. We cannot tolerate such an insult. Indeed, I will find him and I will destroy not only him, but I will destroy the whole Kuru dynasty. And Balaram's words met with approval. and everybody echoed, "Yes, yes." Actually, as the scene was emerging, first, all the warriors were themselves very angry. And it's, "Get my chariot, get my arrows, get my bow, where are my horses? Where is my armor? I want to charge out right away." The Kshatriyas were all in their fierce Kshatriya mood of fighting. And as they were getting ready, at first Balram said, "Stop all of you fools. Can't you see that Krishna is just silently watching all this? Surely he has something on his mind and Arjuna is his friend. So first let us hear what he has to say and then we will decide." So Balram was in command, but still he wanted to see what Krishna had to say. So he pacified others. As an elder brother, he pacified others so that everybody would hear what Krishna was saying. But before Krishna could speak, Balram wanted to give a piece of his mind. And he spoke. And actually when he spoke, he was voicing the sentiments of all the other Yadus also. And Krishna was unfazed. Krishna knew this was the time when he had to take care of his friend. And of course, he was the matchmaker, so now he had to make sure that the matchmaking went off completely, was completed successfully. And he said very calmly, pacifying tone, he says, "I do not think that Arjuna has insulted us. In fact, he has honored us." He said he knew that we would not have accepted any gifts for getting the hand of Subhadra. After all, who would give their own child as if she were an animal to be bought by payment? And neither would he want to purchase a bride like that. So by exhibiting the swiftness of his Kshatriya skills, he has shown that he is worthy of her. And moreover, if you say, actually, when they went together, Subhadra did not scream, she did not protest at all. So she wanted this match, she was happy with it. So why are you objecting? It was not a kidnapping, it was an escape in which both of them went together. And as Krishna spoke soothingly, he pacified, there some of the others asked different questions. And Krishna spoke pacifically, he said that actually, not only has Arjuna shown his skills and he has proved his worthiness, but along with that, so what is the skill? The sheer speed with which he could come and take Subhadra, that speed is also very important quality, skill, or attribute for a Kshatriya warrior in order to gain upper hand in wars and to win wars. So he had shown that, and along with that, he said that the Kuru dynasty, Arjuna's dynasty, is also an illustrious dynasty, and an alliance with them is surely auspicious. So moreover, now that Subhadra has been taken by Arjuna, there's no question of her getting married to anyone else. So better accept the marriage and seal the alliance and make it auspicious by inviting both of them back and giving them gifts. So Krishna spoke so expertly that he turned the tide around completely. Now interestingly, when this marriage took place, it may appear to be, you know, what is this? A boy and a girl are just running away like this. Boy taking the girl away. But actually from both sides, there were dharmic considerations. You know, for a girl, her brother is a protector. So Krishna was in full knowing and was fully accepting the plan. And Arjuna also, when he did this, you know, before, now he was there for several months in Dwarka while the relationship with Subhadra was developing. At that time, when he realized that this is what he was planning to do, he first sent a message to Yudhishthir Maharaj and told him that he was planning to marry Subhadra. He knew that such a decision he could not take without the consent of his elders. And Pandu was not there, so Yudhishthir was his elder. So Yudhishthir agreed. And in this way, they had both taken blessings from their elders in the family. And now each of those family members, so Krishna took the responsibility of persuading others. And then he so expertly persuaded them that they all agreed. And then Balramji sent messengers, and both Arjuna and Subhadra, who had decided Arjuna knew that Krishna was expert and Krishna would make some arrangement. So they left the vicinity, but they did not immediately charge off towards Indraprastha. They decided to wait for some time. And as they were going at a leisurely pace, the messengers came and they were brought back. And their big festivals, properly the marriage was consecrated, celebrated. And then, along with many gifts, Subhadra and Arjuna departed. And when Arjuna came back with Subhadra, as the news reached the citizens of Indraprastha, they were delighted. Now, it was Khandavaprastha, but because Indra had worked his magic through Vishwakarma, it had come to be known as Indraprastha. And the citizens were delighted, and the Pandavas, the remaining Pandavas were delighted, relieved to know that Arjuna had been safe during his pilgrimage, and delighted further to know that now he had married Krishna's sister, and that a stronger alliance would be formed. And Subhadra was welcomed into the family, and then Arjuna decided to go to meet Draupadi. Arjuna was himself apprehensive because he knew Draupadi would be upset. So, among all, when he went to Draupadi and tried to speak to her, Draupadi was sulking, and she said, "Now, why have you come here, O Dhananjay? Go and be with Subhadra. She will be missing you. What business do you have over here?" So Arjuna begged forgiveness from her, and he said that, "Oh, my affection for you has not dimmed at all. You know, I still have affection for you." So Draupadi was not at all pacified, and she said that a second knot always weakens the first knot, no matter how tight it might have been earlier. So she implied that when Subhadra has come, now your love for me will decrease. So Arjuna tried to pacify her in various ways, but she could not be pacified. Then he drew back, and then he made a plan, and he called Subhadra, and he told her, "Dress like a cowherd girl, dress like a gopi, and go and wait on Draupadi." Now Subhadra, although she was a princess, she also understood that she will have to play a submissive role if she is to preserve the family peace. And actually, she was a younger wife, she had been married later, and she accepted the family dynamics and decided to humbly and intelligently do her part. So she dressed herself in a rustic manner, and then she came to the chambers of Draupadi, and she had her maid waiting over there. She said, "I would like to also serve Draupadi, serve the queen." And she was ushered into the chambers of Draupadi. And when Draupadi saw her rustic chamber, he said, "Who are you?" He told her, she said, "I would like to be your servant." And seeing her gentleness, seeing her beauty, seeing her rustic garb, Draupadi is not only attracted to her, but she was reminded of Krishna. Krishna had been living in Vrindavan as a Gopal, and he had lived with gopis, and this reminded her Krishna. And then she said, she was very pleased to see her, and she says, "May you be blessed to be the wife of a great hero and the mother of a great hero." And Subhadra bowed her head down, and she said, "So be it." And then she looked up, smiled, and she said, "I am Subhadra, Krishna's sister." She was also very intelligent. She did not introduce herself as, "I am Arjuna's wife," or "I am not your..." She did not snub her in any way. She also understood Arjuna's plan, and she played along fully. She emphasized, "I am Krishna's sister." And so Draupadi was so happy to see her gentleness and humbleness. She hugged her, embraced her, and then they sat down and started talking about Dwarka and Krishna, and they spent hours talking with each other. And soon they became the best of friends. And in this way, Arjuna made this plan, and Subhadra and Draupadi were reconciled. So often, whenever there are situations that come up in life, whenever any relationships may get weakened or damaged, so we have to always find out what are the common points, what are the areas which bring us together, bring two people who are going adrift together, and highlight those areas. the more we focus on the similarities, the more we can actually strengthen our bonds. Our differences are there, and differences also bring spice to the life. But spice cannot be the main meal. The spice is a something which is, as the word spice is, it adds taste. But there has to be some main meal, that is the main food. So like that, our commonalities in the relation, commonalities are, they are like the main bond that brings us together. And the spice brings further, the variety, differences bring the additional spice. So whenever there are any reasons for creating factors which sort of create weaknesses or wounds in the relationships, then we have to focus on the commonalities. And we focus on the commonalities. So for those who are sadhakas, you know, they're siddha, Bhagwan Sri Krishna and his service, Krishna and his representative, the spiritual master, they are the commonalities. And when you focus on Krishna, then whatever troughs our relationship with may go through, we will find the spiritual strength to navigate and come out of those troughs and continue in the relationship. Not just making the relationship survive, but making it stronger. Thank you. We'll continue. And in the next session, we will discuss about another adventurous incident in Arjuna's life. In fact, one of the most adventurous, where he defeated all the gods together in the burning of the Khandava forest. Thank you. Hare Krishna.